Hi, thanks for tuning in to the Children of Our Lady podcast, brought to you by the Catholic Family Podcast. My name is Thomas, and I'd like to welcome everyone to a new episode of the show. Well, I thank you all for being here today, and I hope everybody's had a great start to this Advent season. I encourage everybody to continue to persevere in their good resolutions and in spending this season well in preparation for the coming of our Lord. And here on today's episode of the Children of Our Lady podcast, we continue through Chapter 6 of the Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. But before we get into the reading today, I did want to say I hope everybody had a great and blessed Feast of the Immaculate Conception on Friday, a wonderful feast day of Our Lady, the first one in the ecclesiastical year, a great feast day where we honor Our Lady's sinlessness and that wonderful grace bestowed upon her by God of being preserved from all sin, original or actual. Of course, all of us were born into this world with original sin, but with the help of Our Lady's intercession, we can strive to avoid all actual sin and implore her help as we try to avoid sin, avoid temptation, and keep our eyes focused on God and press forward on the mission that we're all on of trying to save our souls and be with Jesus and Mary forever in heaven. So now we'll go ahead and get into our reading of Section 2 of Chapter 6, come back for a few more words, our quote, and our prayer to Our Lady. Chapter 6, Section 2. Mary is so tender an advocate that she does not refuse to defend the cause even of the most miserable. So many are the reasons that we have for loving this our most loving Queen, that if Mary was praised throughout the world, if in every sermon Mary alone was spoken of, if all men gave their lives for Mary, still all would be little in comparison with the homage and gratitude that we owe her in return for the tender love she bears to men, and even to the most miserable sinners, who preserve the slightest spark of devotion for her. Blessed Raymond Giordano, who out of humility called himself the idiot, used to say that Mary knows not how to do otherwise than love those who love her, and that even she does not disdain to serve those who serve her. And in favor of such a one, should he be a sinner, she uses all her power in order to obtain his forgiveness from her blessed Son. And he adds that her benignity and mercy are so great that no one, however enormous his sins may be, should fear to cast himself at her feet, for she never can reject anyone who has recourse to her. Mary, as our most loving advocate, herself offers the prayers of her servants to God, and especially those who are placed in her hands. For as the Son intercedes for us with the Father, so does she intercede with the Son, and does not cease to make interest with both for the great affair of our salvation, and to obtain for us the graces we ask. With good reason, then, does Denis the Carthusian call the Blessed Virgin the singular refuge of the lost, the hope of the most abandoned, and the advocate of all sinners who have recourse to her. But should there by chance be a sinner who, though not doubting her power, might doubt the compassion of Mary, fearing perhaps that she might be unwilling to help him on account of the greatness of his sins, let him take courage from the words of St. Bonaventure. The special privilege of Mary is that she is all-powerful with her Son. But, adds the saint, to what purpose would Mary have such great power if she cared not for us? No, he concludes, let us not doubt, but be certain, and let us always thank our Lord and his Divine Mother for it, that in proportion as her power with God exceeds that of all the saints, so is she in the same proportion our most loving advocate, and the one who is the most solicitous for our welfare. And who, O Mother of Mercy, exclaims St. Germanus, in the joy of his heart, who, after thy Jesus, is as tenderly solicitous for our welfare as thou art? Who defends us in the temptations with which we are afflicted as thou defendest us? Who, like thee, undertakes to protect sinners, fighting as it were in their behalf? Therefore, he adds, thy patronage, O Mary, is more powerful and loving than anything of which we can ever form an idea. For, says the blessed Raymond Giordano, whilst all the other saints can do more for their own clients than for others, the Divine Mother, as Queen of all, is the advocate of all, and has a care for the salvation of all. Mary takes care of all, even of sinners. Indeed, she glories in being called in a special manner their advocate, as she herself declared to the venerable sister Mary Villani, saying, after the title of Mother of God, I rejoice most in that of advocate of sinners. Blessed Amadeus says that our Queen is constantly before the Divine Majesty, interceding for us with her most powerful prayers. And as in heaven she well knows our miseries and wants, she cannot do otherwise than compassionate us, and thus, with the affection of a mother, moved to tenderness towards us, pitying and benign, she is always endeavoring to help and save us. And therefore does Richard of St. Lawrence encourage each one, however bad he may be, to have recourse with confidence to this sweet advocate, being assured that he will always find her ready to help him. For, says the Abbot Godfrey, Mary is always ready to pray for all. Oh, with what efficacy and love, says St. Bernard, does this good advocate interest herself in the affair of our salvation. St. Bonaventure, considering the affection and zeal with which Mary intercedes for us with the Divine Majesty, in order that our Lord may pardon us our sins, help us with his grace, free us from dangers, and relieve us in our wants, says, addressing the Blessed Virgin, in the words of an ancient writer, "We know that we have, as it were, but one solicitous in heaven for us, and thou art this one. So greatly does thy solicitude for us exceed that of all the saints. That is, O Lady, it is true, that all the saints desire our salvation, and pray for us, but the love, the tenderness, that thou showest us in heaven, in obtaining for us by thy prayers so many mercies from God, obliges us to acknowledge that in heaven we have but one advocate, and that is thyself, and that thou alone art truly loving and solicitous for our welfare." Who can ever comprehend the solicitude with which Mary constantly stands before God in our behalf? She is never weary of defending us, says St. Germanus, and the remark is beautiful, meaning that so great is the compassion excited in Mary by our misery, and such is the love that she bears us, that she prays constantly and relaxes not her efforts in our behalf, that by her prayers she may effectually defend us from evil, and obtain for us sufficient graces. She has never done enough. Truly unfortunate should we poor sinners be, had we not this great advocate, who is so powerful and compassionate, and, at the same time, so prudent and wise, that the judge, her son, says Richard of St. Lawrence, cannot condemn the guilty who are defended by her. And therefore St. John Geometra salutes her, saying, "Hail, O court, for putting an end to litigation! For all causes defended by this most wise advocate are gained. For this reason is Mary called by St. Bonaventure the Wise Abigail. This is the woman we read of in the second book of Kings, who knew so well how, by her beautiful supplications, to appease King David when he was indignant against Nabal, and indeed so far as to induce him to bless her, in gratitude for having prevented him, by her sweet manners, from avenging himself on Nabal with his own hands. This is exactly what Mary constantly does in heaven, in favor of innumerable sinners. She knows so well how, by her tender and unctuous prayers, to appease the divine justice, that God himself blesses her for it, and, as it were, thanks her for having withheld him from abandoning and chastising them as they deserved. On this account it was, says St. Bernard, that the Eternal Father, wishing to show all the mercy possible, besides giving us Jesus Christ, our principal advocate with him, was pleased also to give us Mary as our advocate with Jesus Christ. There is no doubt, the saint adds, that Jesus Christ is the only mediator of justice between men and God, that, in virtue of his own merits and promises, he will and can obtain us pardon and the divine favors. But because men acknowledge and fear the divine majesty, which is in him as God, for this reason it was necessary to assign us another advocate, to whom we might have recourse with less fear and more confidence, and this advocate is Mary, than whom we cannot find one more powerful with his divine majesty, or one more merciful towards ourselves. The saint says, Christ is a faithful and powerful mediator between God and men, but in him men fear the majesty of God. A mediator, then, was needed with the mediator himself, nor could a more fitting one be found than Mary. But, continues the same saint, should anyone fear to go to the feet of this most sweet advocate, who has nothing in her of severity, nothing terrible, but who is all courteous, amiable, and benign, he would indeed be offering an insult to the tender compassion of Mary. And he adds, read and read again, as often as you please, all that is said of her in the Gospels, and if you can find any the least trait of severity recorded of her, then fear to approach her. But no, this you can never find, and therefore go to her with a joyful heart, and she will save you by her intercession. How beautiful is the exclamation put in the mouth of a sinner who has recourse to Mary by William of Paris. O most glorious Mother of God, I, in the miserable state to which I am reduced by my sins, have recourse to thee, full of confidence, and if thou rejectest me, I remind thee that thou art in a way bound to help me, since the whole church of the faithful calls thee and proclaims thee the Mother of Mercy. Thou, O Mary, art that one who, from being so dear to God, art always listened to favorably. Thy great compassion was never wanting to anyone. Thy most sweet affability never despised any sinner that recommended himself to thee, however great his sins. And what? Perhaps falsely and for nothing the whole church calls thee its advocate and the refuge of sinners. Never, O my mother, let my sins prevent thee from fulfilling the great office of charity which is thine, and by which thou art, at the same time, our advocate and a mediatress of peace between men and God, and who art, after thy Son, our only hope, and the secure refuge of the miserable. all that thou possessest of grace and glory, and the dignity even of Mother of God, so to speak, thou owest to sinners, for it was on their account that the divine Word made thee his mother. Far be it from this divine mother, who brought the source itself of tender compassion into the world, to think that she should ever deny her mercy to any sinner who has recourse to her. Since then, O Mary, thy office is to be the peacemaker between God and men, let thy tender compassion, which far exceeds all my sins, move thee to succor me. Be comforted then, O you who fear, will I say with St. Thomas of Villanova. Breathe freely and take courage, O wretched sinners. This great Virgin, who is the mother of your God and judge, is also the advocate of the whole human race, fit for this office, for she can do what she wills with God. Most wise, for she knows all the means of appeasing him. Universal, for she welcomes all and refuses to defend no one. Example. In Rome there was a woman known by the name of Catherine the Fair, who was leading a most disorderly life. She once heard St. Dominic preaching on the devotion of the rosary, had her name enrolled in the confraternity, and began to recite it, but without changing her life. One evening, a young man of noble mien came to visit her. She received him with courtesy, but, whilst they were at supper, she remarked that as he was cutting bread, drops of blood fell from his hands, and then she saw that there was blood on all the food he took. She asked him what was the meaning of this. The young man replied that the food of a Christian should be tinged with the blood of Jesus Christ, and seasoned with the remembrance of his passion. Astonished at such an answer, Catherine asked him who he was. Later, he said, I will tell you. Then, going into an adjoining room, the appearance of the young man changed. He was crowned with thorns, his flesh all mangled and torn, and he said, Desirest thou to know who I am? Dost thou not recognize me? I am thy Redeemer. O Catherine, when wilt thou cease offending me? See what I have endured for thee. Thou hast now tormented me enough. Change thy life. Catherine burst into sobs and tears, and Jesus, encouraging her, said, Love me now as much as thou hast offended me, and know that I have granted thee this grace on account of the rosary that thou hast recited in honor of my mother. He then disappeared. On the next morning, Catherine went to confession to St. Dominic, distributed all she had to the poor, and ever afterwards led so holy a life that she attained a very high degree of perfection. Our Blessed Lady appeared many times to her, and our Lord himself revealed to St. Dominic that this penitent had become very dear to him. Prayer. O great Mother of my Lord, I see full well that my ingratitude towards God and thee, and this too for so many years, has merited for me that thou shouldest justly abandon me, and no longer have a care of me, for an ungrateful soul who is no longer worthy of favors. But I, O Lady, have an idea of thy great goodness. I believe it to be far greater than my ingratitude. Continue then, O refuge of sinners, and cease not to help a miserable sinner who confides in thee. O Mother of Mercy, deign to extend a helping hand to a poor fallen wretch who asks thee for pity. O Mary, either defend me thyself, or tell me to whom I can have recourse, and who is better able to defend me than thou, and where I can find with God a more clement and powerful advocate than thou, who art his mother. Thou, in becoming the mother of our Savior, wast thereby made the fitting instrument to save sinners, and wast given me for my salvation. O Mary, save him who has recourse to thee. I deserve not thy love, but it is thine own desire to save sinners that makes me hope that thou lovest me. And if thou lovest me, how can I be lost? O my own beloved mother, if by thee I save my soul, as I hope to do, I shall no longer be ungrateful. I shall make up for my past ingratitude, and for the love thou hast shown me, by my everlasting praises, and all the affections of my soul. Happy in heaven, where thou reignest and wilt reign forever, I shall always sing thy mercies, and kiss for eternity those loving hands which have delivered me from hell, as often as I have deserved it by my sins. O Mary, my liberator, my hope, my queen, my advocate, my own sweet mother, I love thee. I desire thy glory, and I will love thee forever. Amen, amen. Thus do I hope. All right, and that's where we'll go ahead and stop with our readings for today. I really like this section from the Glories of Mary, and upon reading it again, I actually don't really remember it from the first time, but one of the things that stands out actually comes from the very beginning of the reading. Very early on, St. Alphonsus quotes Blessed Raymond Giordano, and the beginning of his quote says, that Mary knows not how to do otherwise than love those who love her. And this makes me think about our love for creatures here versus the love that we have for Our Lady. Obviously, we have friends and family, those that we can count on here to come to our aid, to help us when we have different necessities, you know, those we trust. But at the end of the day, we're all human, and we don't always get all the help we were hoping for from that friend, from that family member, from that trusted source. Of course, we know that none of us are perfect, but when we consider the love we have for Our Lady, I think about that love, that homage that we give her, and of course the prayers that we offer up to her, asking her for different favors to obtain for us many different graces, and Our Lady never fails us. And it's wonderful to consider, just as we have in the past on the Children of Our Lady podcast, that Mary is our mother, and she's always looking out for opportunities to help us. And not only just that, provide us with the help that we truly need. She knows what is best for us in order for us to better fulfill God's will, to avoid certain dangers, to draw closer to our Lord. So when we earnestly call upon Our Lady for help, we can be sure of her assistance for us. Whereas, like we said, in our human relationships, sometimes we let each other down. And of course, that's not to discourage asking for help from our family and our friends. Of course, we should. But I merely bring it up to show that when we go to Our Lady for help, when we ask her to assist us in our needs, we can have great confidence in her because we know she won't let us down. And St. Alphonsus constantly reminds us that our sins are no obstacle to Our Lady's help for us, so long as we are firmly resolved to repent and amend our lives, and to strive to avoid sin in the future. And drawing that comparison back to the help that our earthly friends give us, well, sometimes if we were to have made a mistake or hurt their feelings in some way, they're going to be a lot less disposed to help us, or a lot less motivated to do so. Of course, many people out there possess true good charity, as we all should try to forgive injuries and try to help each other out. Of course, our Lord wants us to pray for those who persecute us and do good to those who do us wrong. But when we think about the help that Our Lady gives us, how many reasons have we not given her not to help us by maybe a poor life that we've led, the sins that we've committed, our lack of confidence in her, our failure to serve her? But yet, Our Lady is the Mother of Mercy, and she doesn't want us to be discouraged because we've led a sinful life. Of course, again, we have to have that firm resolve to amend and to avoid sin. And Our Lady doesn't hold grudges with us. Again, she is the Mother of Mercy, and she is so tender and compassionate. She wants to help us, even the most miserable, just like we read today. And I guess the last point that I want to make in regard to Our Lady and the help she provides for us is, again, as we remember the quote I read earlier, that Mary knows not how to do otherwise than love those who love her. Well, remember, in the case of Our Lord and Our Lady, they will never be outdone in generosity. So even if we were to spend our whole life praising Our Lady and trying to serve her faithfully, she'll never let herself be outdone in generosity, and she'll always be there to help us and to return the love that we offer her to us in a far greater measure. How thankful we should be to Our Lady, who is always trying to help us, always trying to obtain so many graces and intercede for us with her Son, with our Lord Jesus Christ, and who is constantly looking out for our eternal welfare. So we too should always be looking for opportunities to spread devotion to her, to encourage others to love her, and of course see to it that we ourselves love her, that we serve her, and try our best to serve her as her faithful children, by imitating her virtues and ultimately a true devotion to her. So if we find in our lives that we've been lacking up to this point, or if we're going through a little bit of a lukewarm period in our devotion to Our Lady, well, let's make today, especially during this Advent season, to renew that fervor, to press on forward in the service of our Lord and the service of Our Lady, and try to encourage others to do the same. Well, I think this is a good place for us to go to our quote for today. And today's quote comes from a priest that I've quoted here on the show before, a priest who lived in the late 1800s to the early 1900s, Father Edward Pope. And I thought two of his quotes fit pretty nice together, so I thought I'd just combine them both here. Are you faithful about doing everything with Mary? Do you glance at her before each prayer, each exercise, each lesson? A precious habit. It is as if each time you opened over yourself the floodgates of grace. If you are united to the humble Mother of Jesus, if before each action you ask for her Spirit, you can indeed keep your Jesus close to you. A good reminder and a helpful practice for us to remember as we go through this Advent season and through life in general, to ask Our Lady to help us imitate her in all that we do, and to live a better life in union with her so that we draw to a closer union with our Lord. Well, I think this is a good place for us to conclude this episode with our prayer to Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. St. Alphonsus de Liguori, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. I thank you all for listening to today's episode. This is the Children of Our Lady podcast, brought to you by the Catholic Family Podcast. God bless you all, and Mary keep you.